ഓം നമോ നാരായണായ, ഓം നമോ നാരായണായ, ഓം നമോ നാരായണായ. മൈ ഹംബിൾ പ്രോസ്റ്റേഷൻസ് ആൻഡ് സല്യൂട്ടേഷൻസ് അൺടു ദ ഓൾ റിയലൈസ്ഡ് സെയിൻസ് ഓഫ് ദ പാസ്റ്റ് പ്രസൻറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദോസ് ടു കം. ഐ വിത്ത് വെരി ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഹ്യൂമിലിറ്റി റിക്വസ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് ബിസീച്ച് the blessings of all the realized souls, the pioneers and the forerunners unto the in the path unto the Lord. May we all have their condescence, their blessings and their patronage, as well as their protection and guidance unto the goal towards which they are by the grace progressing. Om Namo Narayanaya. Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Guru Sakshat Maheshwaru, Guru Deva Jagat Sarvam, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. A guru is a person who bakes as though a brick to the point. We all know that bricks are not born as they are. The clay is taken and in so many is processed and all that, and it gives us the required strong brick for a building and all that. So an unbaked man is like raw clay. He has no stability, he has no optimum anything, he is simply raw as he is born, succumbing totally or partially or somewhat to the three modes of material nature, sattva, rajas and tamas, with which is born enveloped. This is the condition of an ordinary living being. There are many living beings in the world, carrying on the same being throughout the entire span of one's life, to repeat again many such spans. By the grace of the great God and the awakened souls, they are coming into a plane where we become inquisitive to know something beyond. We question in our own selves when so graced this way. Am I to carry on my existence like this? From where have I come and to where am I bound? Is not my place like a railway platform or like a railway waiting room where we all sit together and when different destination trains come, we alight one or other or together to go elsewhere, something like all that. So, when this knowledge that after all no network in this world is of a very permanent and an eternal nature, and every network is giving way to new changing patterns as days and nights and years and decades pass, and the body itself is not maintaining its original state, it also becomes, you know, childhood, youth, middle age, old age and all that. So, if we analyze, we understand that we are totally locked up in a thoroughly fluid state. There is nothing certain, nothing concrete. And by the, play of Maya, we are completely made unaware of this transforming process. The child just becomes a young boy. The young boy again becomes a young man. The young man again becomes a middle-aged man. The middle-aged man becomes an old man. But there seems to be in everybody one eye. That eye is the same, whether the young body or childhood body or middle-aged body or old body. This eye doesn't seem to become wiser by age. It has already woven around itself many desires and many patterns, many ideas and many thoughts. The external changing body is not cognized by the inner being. It thinks, oh, I am just I was, I am, and like all that. It is not cognizing the aging body. It is not cognizing the passing days. It is not cognizing the passing years. It is not cognizing the passing decades. And it is not even cognizing the changes that are coming around. Some change is registered, then new circumstances and surroundings adjusted to and carry on. So this non-cognizance of the reality around us is mainly due to our eyes being blinded by Maya in the form of three modes of material nature. the three modes of material nature are pertaining to this world. Because once our pristine personality, the Atma, is realized, we don't need these three modes of material nature. And our association with the Lord is fundamentally starting with the help of these three modes of material nature, but has got to transcend sometime or other. We cannot always be, relying upon these faculties alone for our advancement. Day by day, they grow like a sine curve, then they go down. So, we have to understand that if we want a confusion-free life, if we want some aim to live, we should try at something static and not always dynamic. Dynamism is all right to reach the goal, but there should be a goal. You can't be eternally running out or running away or running hither and thither in a moving vehicle. It's not possible. You can't do that. Just as you need a home to rest in this world, you should also want a place to rest when you are out of this material body. You can choose the place in another womb or in another place where these transient things do not come at all. That's totally independent. You don't need ration shop. You don't need coffee drinking. You don't need the barber to trim your hair. You don't need to go and sign a mustroll somewhere. This whole affair is here. Under limited freedom, but eternally of a vacillating up and down going nature. You may earn a lot of money. You may have everything around. And you may think you are all right. But your own mind is not constant. Morning you are all right. Noon you get somewhat a little worried. Night you don't get sleep. And then so many other things come into you. And you don't seem to be always in a sort of a good balance. What is it due to? It is because the world is such. You have come into a mobile, transient and a dynamic world of all sorts. Sometimes, as the Bhagavad Gita says, the rajas predominates, sometimes the tamas predominates, and sometimes sattva wins over. When sattva wins over, you are fairly all right. But then rajas and tamas take hold on you, you are worse and still more worse. So, even sattva is not a permanent affair. It has got a tendency to be drawn by rajas and tamas. In sattva also, you have got to live amongst human beings, sattvic people. And this world is a mixture of everything. When there is something good, there is bad also. So the mutual interaction is absolutely unavoidable unless aided and helped by God. The Lord is the only personality who can lift you from all these, sort of difficult things, keep you stable and assure you of security and refuge. As long as I am living in a colony, there are good men, bad men, there are rogues, there are thieves, there are honest men, there are, fairly good people, like all that. One cannot turn his face and walk without getting in contact with all these affairs. So intermixing and moving about becomes compulsory. He may be a very good man, but how can he go out of the street without seeing any other man? He has got a thought mechanism, we have got another thought mechanism. So we have got to interact. In the interaction, you become diluted or you become more concentrated as per the person with whom you are interacting. But mark one point, interaction is definite and certain. You may be a big man in the office, but your bigger man may be there. You might be having qualities that may not be even, as yours, but yet you have got to go and adjust. By the adjustment, you are prarabdha. You are not deemed for eternal joy or peace. You have got to suffer. You take it any hand that is ordained. A man may do something here and run away, but his karma will follow as a shadow. If some Ramacharya or Krishnasamy is enemy here, some Michael or Jacob will be his enemy in Australia. So the question of running away from your karma doesn't work at all. We have got to face. Some Tom, Dick or Harry could not trouble you. Some X, Y or Z will trouble you definitely. See, the Bhagavan says, everything is mechanized by me. I move them. So you get your lot wherever you run. So the best thing is not to earn such things. How can you avoid all lots? By surrender. Because in all three modes of material nature, you are liable to commit mistakes. A sattvic man may mistake a rajasic man to be a sattvic man. A rajasic man may, after all, cheat a sattvic man and get an access to him. He may be pulled down by a tamasic man. So under this jumbling combination, your peace is all, after all, a mirage. Except at the lotus feet of the Lord, except at the times when you pray, except at the times when you are the Supreme Being, Remember, you are always in sort of a cauldron. Maybe heat is say about 25 degrees, 50 degrees. Heat is there to an unwanted degree. Warmth is all right, good, healthy, but not heat. So, you have to mind, around us are all imperfect persons. Around us are all body, mechanism, mind, packed with gunas, sattva, tamas and rajas. We are compulsively to react with the vibrations that are emanating from them. They cannot vibrate God. They cannot maximum vibrate only sattva to a fairly, rather a minimal degree. They will mostly vibrate rajas and tamas. And you have got, whether you tune or not, you will be made to tune. Unless you select your company properly, you have no exemption or you have no option excepting to tune yourself to the surroundings and the minds around. They will vibrate anything. Maybe your vibration are a little better. You go to another vibration, it will forcibly come upon you. And the resultant will be, you also vibrate in a bad way. So that's why it is said, seek the company of sadhus and saints, you always vibrate God. If you want some peace, go to a better place. If you want some nice air, go near the Marina Beach. Don't go near the Kuam and sit down. Kuam sitting down, you know what it is. So don't go interior. Kuam flows right interior. Marina is away. So try to get off these tangles as much as possible and approach a place, something like Marina, where good breeze, God's breeze, free breeze comes. More and more entanglement, more and more tangles, more and more involvement, it's like just a Kuam. Take it from me, just like a Kuam in all respects. It is a material affair. You can just, convert into something better and imagine what it is. So, these are all to be told. Every day I hope to speak something, but if somebody can get something out of it, it is a nice thing. I feel I am doing a service unto the greatest being. Because the greatest being's main point is to retrieve as many souls as possible. Somewhere they say the Lord is standing in a very big river with wide open, legs to catch somebody in between leg at least. But many things go out of the leg. They go away. They are not even graspable. So under these conditions, you should know, we react on the surface. For some people, sattva is on the surface. For some people, tamas is on the surface. For some people, rajas is on the surface. And they can only interact from the surface. Now, they have no power to go inside. They don't introvert or extroverts. When you are not introverting, to what depth can you go? Can you make a borewell 145 feet with a crowbar? You can't. People are having not even long crowbar, short crowbar. What can you do with that? What digging can you do? You are not prepared to go even a micro inside yourself. You want this entertainment, this talk, this cinema, that cinema, this picture, that picture. What all that could draw you out, only you want. You don't want anything to go inside. My Lord, you are in my heart. Let me see you in my heart. My Lord, let me think of you. My Lord, let me go away. My Lord, let me have some time with you. Who is singing like that? Oh, one day, one cinema, Eras Theatre. Oh, one show over. I'll go to Midlands, other show. The mind is running like that, I say. To what good can you come? Mark that. The pitiable lot in the Kali Yuga is that you are always wanting to get out and you want to roam about mentally and roam all places where there is not much of holiness. A temple is there, a cinema theater is there. Temple, 10 people go, cinema, 1,000 people go. All three shows for 1 month booked, all right. That's your tendency. And what do you see there? A mere photographic expression of Maya play or make to believe affairs. It is not reality. Make to believe. The man whom you are seeing as a hero drawing an auto rickshaw is actually having a good sleep in an air conditioned room with all facilities. You poor fool, you think he's a hero, imitate and you go to hell. That's what is happening in the world. Imitate. Because you are deceived by your eyes. You are not seeing God, you are seeing a moving picture. That too, when the picture is gone, it's all white. And when it is white, you are not there, you go out. You are not there to see the white screen. So you are not there to see reality. You see all rot over there, cry, weep, laugh, and then go out as the most fickle person. You are already capable of doing all this. These are all rather, catalysts or, more ingredients that will make you go up and down in your mental level. This is where you are. And day by day, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, more encumbrance, more money, more slavery, all that, all this, all that, and spend a few lakhs in your, you know, discharging your obligations at all, become a bankrupt again, and go and place both your hands on your head and sit and brood. Oh Lord, where I come to? Lord will tell you, my boy, take a chance next time and be better. That's what you are. I earned 10 lakhs, but I spent all 10 lakhs in obligations. Now, can somebody give me food? Had he had some senses, you know, to bow to the Lord and all, would this state of affairs should have come to you? No, certainly not. You run amok, you are left as a pathetic specimen and a scapegoat at the hands of the Maya and fate, and you brood helplessly, awaiting your next, without any certainty. This is a pathetic human life, you know, pathetic human life. Spend your money, energy, thought, strength, concentration, everything on unwanted and, you know, unhelpful and, you know, pitiable, pathetic and illogical and non-reasonable and, you know, brutish and, you know, ignorant and, you know, unrealistic and, you know, all sorts. That's what you have done in your life. To what good can you come? There are so many scriptures, so many big people who are also living in similar bodies, telling you, my boy, go this way, go that way and all. But where are you listening to? Your old boss is your senses, mind and indriya. You are young, good blood, strong. Like anything, you can rebel. You can even rebel against good people. Go your own way. But mind you, when at all this game is done, you are like a wasted, whatever is what. Wasted, simply wasted. Then nobody will employ you. Nobody will want you. You are a poor skeleton, a poor specimen, begging or depending on the mercy of others. And as for your punyam or pavam, you enjoy a certain old age. Enjoy or suffer an old age. You are in full need of protection and favor from so many people in your old age. But what have you done to earn that in your old age? Have you done any good? Have you protected anybody? Have you shown gratitude to the Maker? Did you show a little gratitude? Well, you had power, you ran. Now Maya has got power, she will run on you. Now time has got power. You had power, you ran. Now time has got the power, she will devour. What is wanted is, little drops go to make an ocean. Whatever be your age right now, start at least, little drops. And it's a great point. But 10 drops is about something, 100 drops, 200 drops. One day it will be a big bucket, one day it will be big anda, one day it will be something still bigger. It's not too late, is it? Don't be a fool and don't waste your life. Don't depend upon movable things. Don't be like a monkey jumping from one branch to another branch. Don't be an animal wanting this and that. And don't ruin yourself by succumbing to the five thieves. If you overcome the five thieves, then your mind itself becomes a better guide for you. You tell, oh fool, why are you like this? Somehow become better. So, with a good mind, that's your best friend. With a good mind that can tell you what is right and wrong. With a good mind that will differentiate unreality from reality. With a good mind that will be able to tell you what is ahead of you. And with a good mind that will tell you how to do your very best in your existence. Better try to walk. For that, what can you do? Surrender your mind to God. If you are not able to do anything, which normally people will not be able to, the path of devotion. Even child is made to say, Umachi Bhagavane Kapate. A child is made to say that. Then, but the man who is made to say all that at the young age thinks he is very intelligent, a big logician, a big man, and he thinks he is there a god at all. You fool, who gave you food? Come and answer the question. Who protected you in the young age? Is your mother and father, God in the form of the mother and father? Now you are 6 foot tall, you will talk all rot. But remember, where were you? At your 10th day, where were you? Somebody has to give you food. They have taken and thrown you on the road, you would not be available here to for 6 foot. Don't forget all that. Remember, the Lord that was your mother, the Lord that was your father, the Lord is still your mother and father. And don't think that your helpless days can be such much forgotten. You become an ingrateful son to a father and mother. They gave everything to you, and today you are a big man. You have got your own world and your own mind. The very people who brought you like that. That is ingrateful to God. Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Adivi Devo Bhava. These are all the injunctions. You are not just jumped from the heavens like that. You see? So, unless you learn to go by these rules and regulations, the brute in you will not leave you, and in the long run, it will devour you. Get that? So an animal, your own animaldom will devour you. How can you get out? By listening to people, by people, following people who are known matters, by respecting elders, by bringing your senses under control right from the beginning, not going and doing whatever you like, and not cheating anybody from the beginning itself. Tell the father the truth, tell the mother the truth, tell the teacher the truth. Be honest, learn to be like that. If you don't do that, you are growing a big shaitan in you. That shaitan will be just waiting to devour you when you become weak. And you are bound to become weak. Remember, I know persons who are driving bullets and all, not able to push a cycle in the old age. So, let this piece of talk be of some help to you people. Live the correct way. Live the godly way. Live the harmonious way. Discipline your mind. Don't be a simple animal-like fellow running by instincts hither and thither. Go by the rules and regulations. If you don't go by the rules and regulations will make you go that way, the hard way. No escape. No escape at all. Certainly no escape. Remember that. Remember. Don't jump as a monkey when you are young. If you are a monkey, be a disciplined monkey. That's what we'll advise you now. Listen to elders. Listen to wise elders, not fools. The elder man is a bigger fool than you, then teach him. No harm. If you find an old man a sort of a bigger fool, then try to give him what little knowledge you have got. Because it is never good to listen from fools. They will make you also a big fool. Better daily spend some time in scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavadam, the Upanishads, then the Acharyas, and then bring in your mind such nice personalities. You will have help. Otherwise, you bring all rot in your mind, gossip, no good, simply wasting breath, everything, then that's a wastage, simple wastage. And the most precious free human life you have got now, you have simply done it all to nothing. What a pathos. I understand even elderly people and all pretty ignorant, forgetting their very age, thinking they are still having hundreds of years ahead, and functioning as though they are born yesterday. Arey Baba, you are already 70 man, remember that. Not 7. Don't think you are 7. The man of 7 will continue for another many years, but you may not continue. So why are you going to an equal plane with the boy of 7? He has got a lot of time ahead. What do you have? Your play with the child, anything will help you. When you are going to kick the bucket? No, certainly not. Don't forget your age. Simply don't think, I mean, paint your eye and all and think, oh, I am young. Age is already registered. You are 70 now. Your boy is 7. How many more years you have got? How many more the boy has got? Are you going to keep company with him for long? Then whose company you are going to keep? When you kick the bucket, where are you going? Why are you like a fool spending your time without any contemplation? It's high time that you take Upanishads and things are sold and think, oh, I am now 70 years old. I don't know how many more years I got. My Lord, what am I really? So far I have not been able to contemplate on the subject. If I don't contemplate, where will I end? Are not such easy questions coming in your mind? Wasting. Remember, you have got only very few years ahead. You are already 70. And you come a child of 2, 3. That's a 2-year-old child has got many tens of years ahead. So even taking your 90, how many years you got? So that way that you are an old man, don't waste your time. See what you are, where you are, and indulge in activities that will better your soul. Don't be a slave all your lifetime and make your old body also a tool in the hands of ignorance. Remember, so many people realizing in a young age, so happy, so free. And you know, your job is to work. Work for what? Not, I mean, knowledge, ignorance. So, now having told all this, may the great God help people to somewhat come to their senses, live in tune with their age, then not overlive any particular ashrama, and then learn to become more and more sober and think about the Atma and all that, and ultimately gain bhakti. For bhakti you don't need education. Bhakti is spontaneous. The more pure you are, the more good you are in bhakti. More bondage you are almost a failure in bhakti. You can have bondage, but then pray for everybody. Then your bhakti increases. Oh Lord, keep my son happy. Oh Lord, keep me happy. Oh Lord, keep the... Say Lord, 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 on any count, either individually or collectively. So, develop bhakti. If you are a very small person even, doesn't matter. Pray for all. Somehow gain a proximity to God. Don't say, oh, this is all mine, I'll mine. Ah, put on TV, ah, walk about, come and eat sambar, all right. Ah, we group, come on, we enjoy, rejoice. Not that. Your group can be all right only it has got grace of God. So at least do all this, I don't mind. Then go and beg at least morning and evening, my dear blessed Lord, you have given all this. I want to thank you. Let me not go away from you in all my madness. My Lord, beg like that. If you start doing that, this seed of bhakti will grow. Without your own knowledge, you know, Puliyamaram grows. Without your own knowledge, it's a very big barab. So bhakti also will grow like that. Did you observe that? About 10 years back, the maram is only a small seed, now so big it is. So, develop and cultivate bhakti. Bhakti makes you pure. Bhakti makes you a less animal. Bhakti makes you sublime. Bhakti makes you beg. Bhakti makes you lose your ego. And bhakti makes you simple.
Talking about bhakti. Bhakti means a sort of a spontaneous melting at the thought of the Lord. Your heart simply melts. You have no logic over there. You have no, reasoning over there. And you are in love with the Lord, just like that. You are in love with your child, not with the logic or reasoning, but just spontaneously like that. Your child comes, you, come on. You run, the child runs, you all embrace and all like that. Similarly, if you are having a true love for God, all logic, all reasoning, all schedule, all programming, and all sort of wanting a special time and all to be allotted, all will vanish. You have no special time to go and embrace your child when it's coming from the school. You have no schedule when you are going to give some nice coffee or tea to your child. But for all mechanical, dogmatic, and so-called duty things, you have got schedules. The most important duty of a man is to love the Lord. And this love should be such that there is no period allotted, now this time, that time, like that. Love of the Lord should be the very, undercurrent of the man. It should be his first nature, not second nature.
So,
bhakti should be your spontaneous and non-calculative and very earnest, sincere thing, reflecting complete, hearty, sincere love for the Maker. When we learn to love the Maker, the advantage is we can easily forget that we are limited entities, that we are, bound, that we are imperfect, that these imperfections should be somehow adjusted, and to interact with somebody else they should be so modified, and so on and so forth. In the case of the Lord, there is no need for modification,
He takes you as you are. You need not have cosmetics, nor you need dress in pants, suit and shirt to go and say, "My Lord, I am here, come well dressed and all." He knows your very, very inner fiber. So he is not bothered about whether you are ugly or whether you are handsome or you are rich or poor. He is worried only about your safed heart. That means your pure heart. The one that doesn't, you know, calculate, that doesn't scheme, that doesn't assume an ego apart from the Lord and complicate matters by its own thoughts and ideas. So if you are not one like that, then you do have a place with the Lord. Not that you should know all jargons, that you should go and read this, read that, that you should be this and that. No. Your child is born just like that. Doesn't know even 1 + 1 = 2. But do you expect that proficiency for the child to be given the nice things in the early childhood or in the infancy stage? Don't you run all the more to see that child is well cared for when it is too young? So, in the eyes of the Lord, we are not even a child. We are infants. And understand how a great, nice, supreme father will have the care for you. Only if you try to be a true infant and a sincere one and depending totally upon him. But if you develop logic, reasoning, and a small ego, that of course, you know, an abuse of the, you know, privileges given to you by the Lord, then of course, till you become all right, you have got to be with your ego and all, learn, suffer, then, you know, get weary, co-egos won't help you, run hither, thither, and when you are all done that, fully wasted, go and sit down and ask, "Oh, my Lord, what am I to do?" If at all the word "my Lord" comes to you, now solution comes. If you are such a bhavi, even after, you know, undergoing all trials, you will not go and ask "my Lord." You will go and sit somewhere and curse somebody. "Oh, that fellow has done like this. This fellow has done like that." You won't say, "My imperfection has fetched all these things." You will say, "I am perfect. That man is imperfect. What are you out of perfection? How you say you are perfect? And whatever is what around, you will not know that you get your lot all right from Tom, Dick or Harry. But if at all you know something about a thought of the Lord, a micro thought of the Lord, then mind you, it will become one day a macro. You have got hope. Normally, a man with a divine, born with a divine disposition, is such. Whatever the trials are and whatever the tribulations are, he is never undone. He feels, "Oh, my Lord, oh, what is it after all? Only this much. How great you are. Tomorrow I will be all right by your grace. Or even I am quite all right only. It's a fallacy, I am thinking I am not all right. As long as I retain my inner peace and my communion with you, how can I be not all right? You are a static person. You are a supreme. We know that you are so great that under your protection no harm can get come to anybody. So when I have surrendered and done away with my ego once and once for all, and surrender unto you, where comes the question of anxiety for me? How can I be anxious? I'm a nice place, well protected and all. I get everything I want. And above all, the Supreme Being is there to once in a while, or always, or periodically.